Good morning. We're doing Pirkei Avot, and we started the sixth chapter, a chapter which is really not from the Mishnayot, a chapter which is added from the Braitot. Tanakh quotes, Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi taught, Bechol yom vayom, every single day, bat kol yotzit mehar chorev. A heavenly voice comes booming from Sinai. There's a voice around Sinai. And it says the following, Umachrezet ve'omerit. That voice declares and says, Oy lahem labriot me'elbona shel Torah. Woe to people from the shame of Torah. We read in the previous Braita how great learning Torah is, how much learning Torah does for a person, how it elevates a person. And so the heavenly voice comes out and says, woe to people because the Torah is shamed that people aren't learning Torah. Torah is so valuable and it's so beneficial for a person. And so a heavenly voice comes out of Sinai and says, woe! Whoa! People have the opportunity to grow. People have the opportunity to delve into the most worthwhile thing. Whoa! Now, we can see when people are on a bus, a guy's learning a sefer and the guy next to him is reading an article. Very often, the guy learning the sefer peeks over into the article. You don't see the guy reading the article peeking over into the sefer. Torah is so precious, yet we can access it so easily and we turn our back on it so easily. People have so many excuses why I couldn't make it to learn today and I won't be able to come tomorrow. And there's a reason why a person never finishes the parsha and he never does Shnayim Mikra. No, it's all excuses. And that's why the heavenly voice comes out and says, woe from the shame of Torah. Because every person has to check himself. Couldn't he invest more? Couldn't he delve more into his learning? Focus more on his learning? Invest more time in his learning? It's worth investing in the small sets. Today for 25 shekel you can get a set Chamisha Chumshei Torah. And wherever you go, you could be learning the parasha. Today, for 25 shekel, you buy yourself a set of Mesilat Yesharim, Ochot Tzadikim, the top books on Jewish thought, you can get for 25 shekel today. And then for the next few years, you're set. Wherever you go, you could be studying it. Today, it's so easy. You can, if you have a smartphone or a computer, you can download tens of thousands of books for free. HebrewBooks.org. There are so many apps where you can get all of Shas for free. So what's the excuse? There's no excuse. That's why the heavenly voice comes out and says, woe to God's creations from the shame of Torah. Shekol mi sheino osek batorah. Whoever isn't dealing in Torah the way they should, nikra nazuf. So he is called one who God says, stay away. Nazuf. It literally means someone who is ostracized. But the idea is, Hashem says, I've given you the tool to come close. You're not interested. Stay away. Nazuf. What a powerful word. Nazuf. It's as though Hashem's yelled at him this morning. If you've ever been yelled at by your parents, you know there are times where a parent yells at a child and they don't want to talk to that parent right now. So that's the idea of being nazuf. Nazuf is someone who was yelled at. Someone who should feel distant. And so Hashem says, you're not learning my Torah? Get out of here. It doesn't literally mean get out of here. It means one should feel like the Ribon Shalom's upset at them. Shenemar, as the verse says, Nezem Zahav Me'af Chazir. A gold nose ring in the nose of a pig Isha yafa v'saratam. That's a woman who's beautiful, yet when she talks, you see, she is not intelligent. She's gorgeous, but then she starts talking and you see she's a complete imbecile. She's got no sense to her. So that, says the Pasuk in Mishle, is a gold nose ring in the nose of a pig. A person was given something beautiful, like a external beauty or a gold nose ring, but the internal is missing. And so too, every human being is given the external potential. On the outside, we represent something very intelligent, very positive. Every human being has that potential. But in order to realize that potential, we were given a tool. It's called the Torah. Torah is the tool for a person realizing their potential in the world. And when a person turns their back on the Torah, Hashem says that's like taking the most beautiful jewelry and putting it on a pig. The human being was given the most beautiful jewelry, in other words, the greatest potential as a human being. The question is, what do we do with it? Yes, Yaakov?
In some Midrashim, we compare the Torah as a woman, and that we have connection with the Torah to marry it, because we have to be connected by staying together all the time, dedicating our lifestyle to the Torah. But many people, as you said, for example, if we don't study the Torah, we might have the outside of a beautiful woman. For example, the Brit Milah, the Bar Mitzvah, but we don't dedicate it. So it's literally a relationship where it's only outside and no inside.
Yeah. Yeah. And no one looks at a pig with a gold nose ring and says, "How gorgeous, come let me give that pig a hug." No. You say, there's something wrong here. It's a waste of the nose ring. That's the human being who does not invest time in learning and developing themselves. So there's a waste here. The human being was given the greatest potential. Ve'omer, and the verse says, Ve'haluchot na'ase Elohim eima. The tablets, they were God's handiwork. V'amichtav, michtav Elokim hu, and the engraving on the tablets was godly engraving. Charut al aluchot, it was engraved into the tablets. Al tikra charut, ela cheirut. Don't read the words that the words of God were engraved, the word charut, but rather read it as cheirut. She'en lecha ben chorin elami she'osek b'Torah. You don't really find a free person unless the person is dealing in Torah. So the Braita continued. The Braita initially said, when a person doesn't learn Torah, the heavenly voice comes out every day and says, woe to people from the shame of Torah. Why? Because when one doesn't learn Torah, God says, stay away. A person has that great potential, like the nose ring. The question is, what type of person they will be, what they will do with that potential. One might say, leave me my freedom. Part of my greatness, part of my identity is my freedom. One of the greatest healthy desires that we human beings have is to be free. I want to make my own decisions. I want to experience life. When a person is free, a person feels like they're experiencing life. And so the Braita is saying, don't think that when the Braita is recommending learning Torah, the Braita is recommending a lifestyle of subservience. When we learn Torah, we are learning how to access freedom. Freedom of thought is when a person can absolve themselves of the mistakes of society. When a person can uplift themselves and look at the world and say, what's important to me? What's really important in this lifetime? Torah gives us the tools to pull out and look from above. Torah gives us the tools to have a perspective. If you don't have Torah, so then the world can say all kinds of things are positive. The world keeps fluctuating back and forth. the values that the world promotes keep changing. Look at the world of 1,000 years ago. It was perfectly legitimate to have slaves beat one's wife and give her zero rights. That was the positive person of 1,000 years ago. Go back 500-600 years ago, you want a positive person, then he can rape and plunder and do whatever he wants, so long as it was in the name of the Crusades. Or if he was Muslim, it was in the name of Islam. But these were all people who were exalted as wonderful people. It's perfectly okay to burn down a city and the men, women, and children, because it's in the name of A or B or C or D. You come to the 21st century and we have new concepts of what's called good. But the Jewish people have been constant. We haven't changed our perspective on what's good, and that's because it doesn't come from us. It's not us who are inventing the wheel. It is the Torah. Hashem gave us a system, as the Baal HaTanya writes, the Rebbe of Chabad, the first Rebbe of Chabad who compiled the Tanya, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, he writes, one of the greatest points of Torah is its consistency. Torah does not change with the fleeting values of the time. The values of Torah are eternal, and that's because it's godly. The mitzvos don't change, the values don't change. It's interesting. There's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch that says that if your father asks you for a drink and your mother asks you for a drink, then give your father first. If neither side is willing to give in, give your father first, because your mother has to show respect to your father. So if you read that halacha, you read it and you think, wow, what a chauvinistic halacha, right? You read that halacha and you say, it doesn't fit with what modern society views as being ethical. But once you see the halacha in its greater context, you see a totally different halacha. What does the halacha really say? The halacha says that if a father and a mother are impoverished, and they both need food, and you don't have enough food for both of them, give your mother, because your father owes that to your mother. Part of his responsibilities in the marriage is to ensure she has food. You have to give your mother the food. What if they both need clothing, and you don't have enough funds to buy clothing for both of them? Buy your mother the clothing, because your father owes your mother the clothing. What if your father and mother, God forbid, were taken into captivity? They're both being held hostage, and you have to come up with the ransom, and you only have enough to redeem one of them. The halacha says, redeem your mother first. So when it comes to a glass of water, bring it to your father first. But that's because in that little realm, your mother is the one that makes the food. She's responsible for preparing the food. That's the division of tasks. But when you look at the broader picture, who got the better end of the deal? Is it really the father that got the better end of the deal? How often is it really going to happen that two parents are going to be fighting over, bring me that cup of water first. No, bring me that cup of water first. How often is that? On much more integral points, the Torah gave the rights to the woman. So if you learn one line in halacha, all you learned was, well, dad gets first rights. Not exactly. Dad gets certain rights, and mom gets many other rights. And the division of the rights between a father and a mother are in accordance with the beautiful system that the Torah set up of a division of responsibilities between spouses. What he owes her, what she owes him. What he must do for her, what she must do for him. As you learn that system, you understand that it's a very fair system. It takes very good care of the women. On the contrary, when people get married, you'll notice that the ksuba says nothing about what your rights are, men. It only says what your responsibilities are as men. A couple came and they asked if under the chuppah the wife can say something. I said, what does she want to say? So she said, maybe when he says, Areyat mikudeshetli, I should say, I agree. Maybe I should say something. Why do I have to be quiet under the chuppah? So I said to her, look, you can, but Chazal wanted the whole picture of a chuppah to be regal. If you answer yes, what you're saying is, you are a fleeting person. You're saying, we just decided, he just decided to offer, and I decided to accept. Chazal didn't want it to look that way. Chazal wanted a chuppah to be obvious that you're showing up as the princess who has to say nothing, and he comes to you in in a cherishing way, he's coming to you and saying, will you give me the honor of marrying you? I'd like to put this ring on your finger. It's part of the regal status that Allah wanted to give you, that you can just stand there and he has to ask for permission to marry you. And that's what he's saying. Hare'at, behold, are you willing to be mekudeshet li? From here on in, if you approve, I will sanctify our relationship. Hare'at mekudeshet li b'tabad zu. I said, you want to say yes, it doesn't disqualify the marriage, but it demeans you. It's as though you'll think about it now, and then you'll say yes, it's not a good idea. The whole idea was to make this something valuable to the point where it's very obvious why you came. And in this ceremony, which has, it's halachically binding, but the way we set up the ceremony was to give you as much honor as possible. It shouldn't just be you're walking down in the marketplace and now he decided, hey, Carol, what do you say? We get married. Come two witnesses, guys, watch. Carol, are you willing to marry me? Yes. Come on. No, Chazal wanted you to treat it differently. En lecha ben chorin, ela mi shosek b'torah. You want to be free? Deal in Torah. Torah will take you out of the mistakes and the desires. It uplifts a person and gives him a free perspective on the world. It gives him an anchor. V'chol mi shosek b'torah tadir, whoever deals with Torah frequently, hareze mit ale, he gets uplifted. Person might say, I don't think I can gain the crown of Torah. Mishnah, the Braita tells him, work at it. The key to working at it is tadir, frequently. You wake up in the morning, you learn for 2-3 hours, you daven shachris, you learn another 2-3 hours, you go out to work, you come back before you come home, you learn another 2-3 hours, you eat dinner with your family, and then hopefully you get in another hour or two before you go to sleep. So, frequently. Shenemar, as the verse says, the Jewish people traveled, and they traveled to a place called Matana, gift. Umi Matana, and from gift they traveled to Nachaliel. They traveled to the heritage of God, Umenachliel Bamot, and from there they traveled to elevation. So our sages say, what are these three names? Our sages say, Matana, gift, is not to be read as the name of a place, but rather it's to be read as the gift of Torah. They traveled from receiving the gift of Torah to Nachliel, to making it their own heritage given by Hashem. And once a person does that, he says, let me acquire Torah, let me learn Torah and invest in Torah. So then Bamot, then he gets elevated. So our sages took the names of the places and said, this teaches us the system a person should apply to learning Torah. So today, we finished the second Braita of the sixth Perek, and we learned, A heavenly voice comes out of Mount Sinai every day and says, woe to God's creations about the shame they give Torah that they don't deal in Torah. If a person doesn't deal in Torah, the Braita said, it's as though Hashem's given him a yell, Hashem's upset at him. He's like a pig wearing a gold nose ring. He has the potential, the gold nose ring, he's given the Torah. A person has potential to be a great being. The question is, what does he do with it? The idea, a person might say, if I learn Torah, then I stop having my own identity. I lose my freedom. So the Braita says, no. You should know that through Torah you gain freedom. You gain the ability to have perspective on the world. It's through Torah that you gain freedom. And when a person deals in Torah, they get uplifted. That's the idea of the names of the places, that through Torah a person rises. Person grows, they grow in their wisdom, they grow in their understanding, and they get uplifted.